This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, top stories of the day coming at you here on the whole show. Welcome back. For the longest time we talked about the NFL and getting to ultimately an 18-game NFL season, and it kind of felt like that was going to happen at some point. Well, according to ESPN and then David White, the interim executive director of the NFL Players Association, told the Associated Press that he hasn't had any conversations with the league about expanding the length of the regular season, which increased to 17 games not that long ago, just back in 2021. White said he had a productive meeting with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell in New York a couple of weeks ago, calling it a very good start to our relationship, and added they have agreed to an open and respectful line of communication. The league, quote, "The league has the right to bring any issue they want to the table and presumably to propose what they're willing to give to receive what they want in negotiation. But we'll see when that happens. We haven't talked about it being the 18-game regular season, and it certainly is not inevitable and should not be presented as such." Now, obviously, the two sides have to figure out what that looks like, and that will be a part of the NFL collective bargaining agreement. It may be a part of the NFL collective bargaining agreement, which actually expires not that far from now, a few years still, but March of 2031. So we'll see. I always thought they were going to. They would just have to maybe eliminate the preseason. Or just do one preseason game, just one warm-up. I'm good with that. Just do one preseason game. Not that they play in it anyway. So you're not really giving the starters much, like the actual players much of anything. We'll be interested to see how this plays out. I always just found it funny that the NFL preaches safety, 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 safety. And then they're like, yeah, but we're going to add two more games from 16 to 17 and then ultimately to 18. Okay, this story is interesting. I talked about this on my show, I don't know, a year ago. But here's the story. Here's the situation. The Los Angeles Clippers and team owner Steve Ballmer reportedly have been accused of circumventing the NBA salary cap by paying $28 million to Kawhi Leonard for a no-show job. Pablo Torre? He is a former ESPN contributor, but he has a podcast, and he does a lot more than just a podcast. He's excellent. He was in on this whole, was there collusion in the NFL? But Pablo Torre finds out. Good follow. But you remember when he was on, I remember when he was on ESPN, he was good. Kawhi Leonard signed a $28 million endorsement deal for a no-show job with a fraudulent tree planting company funded by $50 million from Clippers owner Steve Ballmer, according to documents obtained by Pablo Torre. It was to circumvent the salary cap, an inside source says. Wow. Now, I've talked about this a lot. College doesn't. College is doing it. Now, with their salary cap and their NIL deals, they're kind of doing it. Like, we're going to give Billy Bob $50 million, whatever, $5 million. we're going to get a donor to give that money. The donor goes, here it is. Just give it to him. Well, he's got to do something for it, though. Well, okay. Just have him come to an event and say it's worth $5 million. That's one way around it. The other way around, like this new salary cap thing, great. You have up to $20 million you can pay players every year. You want more? You can get donors to go off on the side and just give them NIL deals. So this is kind of what allegedly is happening here with the Clippers. According to Torrey, Leonard agreed to a four-year, $28 million endorsement deal in April of 2022 through his LLC, KL2 Aspire. The endorsement deal came 9 months after Leonard signed a four-year, $176.3 million million-dollar contract to remain with the Clippers, the maximum allowed at the time under the NBA's collective bargaining agreement. So that's all he could get. But the Clippers really wanted him to stay, I guess. So it's like, hey, we could throw another $30 million into this. But we got to do an endorsement deal. A clause in one of the documents obtained by Torrey states that the deal between Aspiration and KL2 Aspire would be voided if Leonard left the Clippers. Makes sense. According to Torrey, Leonard also could decline to proceed with any action desired. Interesting. By Aspiration and continue to get paid. An unnamed employee who worked for Aspiration told Torrey that the payment to Leonard was to circumvent the salary cap. Basically what this is, I've talked about this a lot. What's to stop teams from saying, okay, the salary cap is hard to navigate through. In the NBA specifically, we got all these aprons to navigate through. So we say, okay, player A, you want $50 million a year. Well, if we give you $50 million a year, we're not going to be able to give player B $30 million a year, player C $28 million a year, player D. So do you want to win a championship? Yes, I do, but I still want my money. Well, let's do this. Let's give you want 50. We can give you 30, whatever your market value is, whatever. We can go over that. Now, obviously, if it's too much of a, like, if Joker's worth $50 million and you're giving him $30 million, that's going to be pretty damn obvious. But they would be able to mix that up over time. So $28 million in this endorsement deal would be spread out over, like, 5 years. So that would be like, oh, he took a little bit of a player discount of, like, you know, $5 million a year or $10 million a year, whatever, which would still be significant. But what's to stop teams from doing that? And then simply, now where this is really bad is Ballmer. This is Ballmer's, the owner of the Clippers. This is his alleged company. So but what I'm talking about is what's to stop owner from going to, I mean, billionaire owners know other billionaires. And they know other millionaires. What's to stop them from going to other companies saying, you want to get involved with this player? He could now, this is a no-show event, but he could show up to an event. Just give him $20 million over the next 3 years. Because that's what we're missing, and we can't do that if we want to retain these other two players. What's to stop them from doing that? Now, with Ballmer, this is his tree planting company, which, again, it's not his 100%, but Ballmer partially funded it with a $50 million investment through his personal LLC. So again, if you're going to do this, not to say it's right either way, but if you're going to do this, you don't want it to come back to you. You can be the guy that introduces them. You can probably be the guy without it being recorded and saying, hey, you're a big Clippers fan. You live, breathe, eat, sleep, and die Clippers, right? Yes, I do. Well, Kawhi wants this amount. If I give him that amount, we're not going to be able to put a team around him. So we need $20 million to spread out because of this damn apron thing. Oh, you need $20 million? I can give him $20 million. Okay, but we got to make it an endorsement deal. Okay, great. Sounds good. I mean, what's to stop teams from doing that? All these stories we hear, and I haven't heard any, you know, substance behind this opinion, but all these stories you hear of quarterbacks, well, it took a team friendly deal, or any player in particular took a team friendly deal. Doesn't this kind of story make you wonder? And then we always, like with Tom Brady, we always said this, Well, the guy doesn't need the max contract. He wants to build a team and he wants to win Super Bowls, so he wants the best team around him. But he'll make that up in endorsement deals. Okay, that's fine. 100% fine. But if you're the owner actively helping him with those endorsement deals and getting him in the door with people and his agent, what's to stop you from doing that? And then a player is like, okay, I'm getting my $76 million and I'm still able to have a really good roster around me and win championships. But I saw this story and I'm like, that's exactly what I've been saying. Maybe I'm a criminal. Because I was like, that's how you do it. That's how college is doing it. Hey, we can't give you, we got a salary cap now. We can't give more than $20 million a year to our roster. But I got a friend named Billy Bob here who's a car dealership. Why don't you introduce yourself? And then the rest will take care of itself. Yeah, what kind of extra money are you looking for? Well, they're going to give me $1 million. And you're wanting three? Okay. Yeah, that kind of stuff is happening. And now I'm wondering if in the pros, that's just another way to kind of skirt the salary cap. Just make sure they have endorsement deals. Which, if you introduce a donor to a player, and then the player and the donor go off by themselves and come up with a deal, that's fine, right? I would imagine that's fine. But what Steve Ballmer did was actually contribute to this tree planting company, Aspiration. I wonder if it's aspens they plant. And he's directly feeding the money into that. Kind of like money laundering, isn't it, Mike? I mean, kind of sounds like something like that, doesn't it? I mean, I'm not 100% sure what money laundering is, just what I learned from The Sopranos. But that's kind of, we're going to funnel money through there. And then they're going to give you money from that, and it's going to go to this player. So how is this going to end up? The Clippers did have a statement. Neither Mr. Ballmer nor the Clippers circumvented the salary cap or engaged in any misconduct related to Aspiration. Any contrary assertion is false. The team ended its relationship with Aspiration years ago during the 22-23 season, with Aspiration defaulted on its obligation. Neither the Clippers nor Mr. Ballmer was aware of any improper activity by Aspiration or its co-founder until after the government instituted its investigation. The team and Mr. Ballmer stand ready to assist law enforcement in any way they can. The NBA did not immediately respond to ESPN's request. So if you do this, they know that this could happen. The NBA has rules under the circumvention rules of their 2023 collective bargaining agreement. Teams can be punished for circumventing the league's salary cap. Penalties can include fines up to $7.5 million, direct forfeiture of draft picks, voiding any player contract and a suspension up to a year for any team personnel found to have engaged in such a violation. So apparently the Timberwolves did this too. The Timberwolves engaged in an illegal secret agreement with Joe Smith by allegedly promising to pay him a future multimillion dollar deal if he signed with the team on a shorter contract for less money. The NBA found out about that, penalized the Timberwolves by removing first round draft picks, fining the team $3.5 million, and banning head coach at the time Kevin McHale and owner Glenn Taylor for a season, along with the voiding of the contracts for Smith. Wow, I almost forgot about that. But that's even a little bit different. That's more of a, we can give you this money now, but we can promise you we're going to give you more money when we can. Technically, the first contract is what you're talking about. That's what you're dealing with. But in this case, you're using like an external company outside of the team to try to circumvent or to make up where you would lose, where you can't afford, or within the salary cap confinements, you can go around it. Fascinating. 19 minutes after the hour. Top stories of the day presented by On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. And we are turning the season, man. We've got some fun stuff for you, too. The beer of the week is Red's Apple Ale. Refreshingly crisp and perfect for the seasonal change. And we know harvest season is here. And at On the Rocks Liquor, they have everything apple, with ciders from Strongbow, Seattle Cider Company, and Stem. Or you can try some cider whiskey from J Seeds. They got it all, man. They got it all. On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the Rocks, 20 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Ready for the college football weekend with Rocky Mountain College kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Now you're getting somewhere, Mike. Look at Big Hub. It says, Micah, jamming today. Yeah, you've suggested some other ones that I haven't allowed you to play, so, but you've done well, my friend.
I haven't suggested any others today.
You this stupid Star Wars, intergalactic Star Trek, Captain Kirk battle thing that you wanted to play, and I said, that was dumb. Don't play it.
Well, that's because you were making fun of my playlists, so I decided, you know what? I'm going to play something for you during the break, and you can't stop me. Maybe we'll come back with that for Keeler.
No, we have something in store for Keeler, don't we?
We do. It's a Star Wars remix from the 70s.
I don't think so. Okay, so we all know what went down between Georgia Tech and the Colorado Buffaloes on Friday night. Georgia Tech wins 27-20. Let me read this text. Same sentiments with the Jams today. You guys are going to give Michael a big head. I mean, it does seem like people like you, which is really strange to me. Okay. Georgia Tech scores up 27-20. Colorado Buffaloes with what? A minute two remaining. They get the ball. Kickoff was for a touchback. Two timeouts remaining. So the first play is Caden Salter. A pass out to the flats to Micah Welch for, was it a negative? It was negative yardage. So I'm watching it as I talk about it. So a minute left. Okay. There's the pass. He's tackled inbounds. A minute four, a minute three, a minute two. Timeout. Timeout. Right there. You call a timeout. Nope. 50, now 47 seconds. So they snapped the ball with 45 seconds left on second down. So they went from a minute six, whatever, one play. You don't call the timeout. The clock runs. Now you snap it for second down on your own, their own 25. And Caden Salter goes back for another pass with 44 seconds left. He hits Hakeem Williams for a gain over the middle for a gain of 11. No timeout. That's also where you call timeout. We are now down to, like, okay, wait. I got to track back on that. Okay, there's the play. 39 seconds, 38, no timeout, 37, 36, 35. And now you're down to like 28 seconds left. No, excuse me, 18 seconds left. And no timeouts have been called. Caden Salter runs for 5 yards to the Colorado 9 for a first down. I think he got out of bounds. And that was the third down and one. So you got the first, clock stops either way, but you're dealing with seconds now. By the time they went to throw this thing, the game was already pretty much done. Once they got that first down, there was a few seconds left on the clock. You know, after the so it's third down and one, they get it, and time's pretty much gone, Mike. Then they get the first again, second and 10, 3 seconds left. They don't get very many yards, and they got to set up for a Hail Mary. Coach Prime was asked about how he handled the timeouts in this game, which I'm saying, very obvious, right? It's easy for me to say in my little couch, my little chair, but it is easy. You call it on first down. It was a negative play too. Your receivers are downfield. I mean, I know it was a pass out to the flats, but you have certain receivers that are downfield. They got to run back in. You got to set the ball, and 20 seconds goes away. It's crazy to me.
Well, Brady, what you and the other fans don't know is that he had the ear, the advice of Vic Fangio. And Vic Fangio knows how to run a clock.
Texter from the 931. I'm pretty football smart being around it my entire life, but still have a lot to learn. Me and my dog knew he needed to call timeouts, if nothing else, to regroup his team and call a few plays in the huddle. He was just full of excuses to try to cover up, no admitting that he was wrong. Big Hub texts in and says, I think Dion was in denial, but because he's primetime, he can say he knows better. I mean, it's just, so you should have called it on first down, and then same sequence, let's say the same play happens on second down. They got, what, 11 yards? They didn't get the first down. You call it again. Then you're done with timeouts, and you still probably have 40-plus seconds left on the clock. Here's Coach Prime's response. I find it fascinating.
Okay, let's just get the cat out of the bag, all right? First down, we throw a lateral pass, right? We lose four or five yards. Do you call timeout there?
Yes. Yes.
No, you're right there. You don't call timeout there. You got to go. You got to go.
What?
So you're running tempo, right?
Okay.
So the next play, what? You gain, I guess, 14 yards, whatever. Now you got third and one.
Third and one. Timeout.
Right? Do you call timeout there?
Yes. Timeout.
Third and one.
Timeout.
You get first down.
Yes.
Clock stops.
Well, you haven't got it yet. So clock's still going.
You get first down. The clock stopped.
Okay.
Okay.
But you haven't got it yet.
Scramble play. He ran out of bounds. The clock stopped, right?
Okay, yeah, but
now we throw the ball out of the end zone.
Now it's like
clock stopped.
No time's left.
Right? So when was the time to call timeout?
First down.
I'm just getting the elephant.
First down and then second down.
You know what you want to say. I'm just trying to help you help me.
Help. First down.
I wasn't asking more about the timeouts. More just about just like the capabilities of the offense and kind of how you guys can use this group.
Nobody cares about that.
Well.
No, nobody cares about that. We're talking about first downs and timeouts.
Sometimes it just don't go like it's supposed to go. We pray to God it goes well this week. We're trying to fix what
fade that down. So the reporter, listen, reporters do a tough job. They're in there, especially with Coach Prime. It's crazy. You don't want to get keelered. I understand that. And I hope that if I was in that moment, hey, Coach, any thoughts on not calling those timeouts then? When I've called them? In my opinion, after first down. Go back again, Mike. Play it again. Play that first part again. Not when the other reporter asks a dumb question about your players in that situation. Just about the timeout. Here he is.
Okay, let's just get the cat out of the bag, all right? First down, we throw a lateral pass, right? We lose four or five yards. Do you call timeout there? No, you're right there. You don't call timeout there. You got to go. You got to go. So you're running tempo, right?
Okay, pause.
So the next play.
So I don't know what right there means, and then tempo. You just lost yardage. Now, if you go down the field and you're rolling and it's guys are running along with you, that's kind of different. Still would have called a first down or a timeout if you didn't get the first down. But I don't know what you meant by like you're right there. I mean, from that final sequence of plays. I mean, I'm going back and looking at it, Mike. You know, when they get the ball, they got them over a minute. And then that first down play hits. Clock is ticking. Guys are still running back to get settled. We're down to 47 seconds before the ball is snapped. You just wasted 25 seconds. Maybe 20 seconds. And then you run another play on second and 12, and that's when you get the 11 yards. It's third and one. Middle of the field, 40 seconds, 39, 38, 37, 36, 35. That's crazy to me. Like, just admit you were wrong. You're human, Coach Prime. You are human. Smitty says, CU needed a timeout before their final Hail Mary just to give their wide receivers a breather because they've been running down the field and back to the line of scrimmage. It's easier on the defensive backs because they don't have as much ground to cover between plays. Total flub up by Dion and his staff. If anything, you just lost. And I'm like, call timeout on first down. Call the timeout on the first down play because you just lost yards. You're going to have to get everybody to come back and get online to set up for the next play. You call a timeout for so many reasons. To stop the clock, to reset, refocus, get everybody back. Give him a 30-second breather. Texter from the 970. Dion forgot that his massive ego can't call timeouts for him. But then again, he'll never doubt his ego, so it must have been right to not call timeouts. I don't know, man. I would have been totally good if he would have just said, Yeah, you know, my thought process was we've got momentum, in which you didn't. You lost yards. There was no rhythm. You just lost yards on that first play. Just admit it. It was wrong. I make bad decisions all the time. I make dumb errors all the time. On this show. Things I should know better. In life. I don't admit them to as much on air, but I'll admit them to you when I screwed up, Mike.
And it never happens on Thursday.
Oh, heck no. Thursday night special? No. It's an amazing thing. He said, Chris, Shurmur continues to call stupid plays. Maybe that's the loose cat. Yeah, what is Shurmur calling? Why are we going to the middle of the field? I asked Ed Lamb about this today, and he's like, yeah, it's on the head coach to call the timeouts, right? Which we kind of knew, but I'm surprised nobody in coach's ear. Like Shurmur's calling plays. The play in the flats was probably designed to get out of bounds, but didn't. And then the next play was in the middle of the field after no timeout was called. Isn't Pat Shurmur, who coached in the NFL, saying on the headset, hey, I just called a play in the middle of the field, call timeout. Is nobody saying that? And I asked Ed Lamb that. He's like, when it comes to timeouts, you don't want a lot of people in your ear because they can get crazy. Don't call a timeout. Do call a timeout. That's your decision.
But if you can't make the right decision, then give it to an intern who knows more.
Remember what happened to Nathaniel Hackett when he couldn't figure out when to call timeouts and when not to call timeouts? He's not a head coach anymore. But then Coach Prime asked the question, like, when am I supposed to call timeout? After first down. I screenshotted the two plays. Call timeout here, and then call timeout here. And then here. Like, you got two timeouts, man. He said, Chris, didn't they take two timeouts in the locker room? Yeah. Coach Prime says, I don't like taking timeouts into the locker room. Didn't they get you? But you did. On a negative play. Now, if CU rolls down the field, 20-yard pass, clock stops on first down, and then it's going to run once the ball is set, totally good not taking a timeout. Although, under 20 seconds, the clock is still going to tick, and you have two remaining, and if you complete like a 25, 35-yard pass, you still might consider taking a timeout because clock is going to get down rather quickly, and maybe not on first down, but second down.
Even if he had called a timeout at like the dumbest time in that drive, you're still going to save some time for yourself. Like you still save like at least 2 seconds if you had called it at the wrong time. Like save as much time as possible. Some things aren't computing in his mind. Almost as if he's taking too much on his shoulders.
If you would have got 9 yards on that first down, would you have called a timeout? I still think the answer is yes. It's under a minute left. You're still on your negative side of the field. So I would still call a timeout even if it was a positive play. But his response doesn't even compute with what happened. Because it's like, we're right there. It's momentum. It's rhythm. You got dropped for a negative 2-yard loss.
Rhythm means absolutely nothing when the clock is ticking down, when the clock is your biggest enemy.
Yeah, man. Big Hub says he probably believed the altitude would have helped. He believed that Caden Salter was going to do what Shedeur Sanders did. I even tweeted that after the game. I was like, there was a part of me that thought, we're getting ready to have some magic. And we're going to see what Shedeur did. But I forgot. He ain't here. He ain't in Boulder. He's in Cleveland. So I don't know what... I mean, that was strange. And I think even the diehardiest of Buffs fans, Prime fans, are kind of like, okay, not calling the timeouts was one thing, but your response is another. Wouldn't it make you kind of go, does he know about those things? Dude, Coach Prime's a smart dude. The guy knows football. I was just shocked that not only did he not call the timeouts, but in the press... Listen, you can get caught up in so many things in a game, and maybe you just lost sight of things, and it just mentally, oh, we'll be okay, and then you look up and 20 seconds is gone, and you're like, crap. should have called it. That went way faster than I thought. Okay. That happens. I've seen it happen to great coaches. You've seen great coaches call timeouts when they don't have any. It happens. Just admit it. Just say, yeah, you know, looking back, I should have called it on first down. And I probably should have called it on second. But we didn't. That one's on me. We got to move on. Is that so painful? But instead, it's, what are you talking about? When would you have called it? This is all in the media. They're just blowing things out of proportion. Not really.
The answer to that question is anytime. Anytime. Call it anytime.
Yeah. Even after, even on the before the Hail Mary, like Smitty says, you didn't call him. You already screwed up. So call it again. Call it and give the guys a rest. You didn't use him at all. Even on the last play, call it. You got two. They're in your pocket, man. Do you think that he forgot he had the timeouts? Do you think he didn't know he had two timeouts?
It's very possible. Get two more wishes left in that lamp. He's like, where's the genie? I don't know. I forgot about it.
Of course you would go there with something weird and nerdy. You'd go there with Aladdin. You'd make an Aladdin reference.
Aladdin's not really nerdy.
Good flick. Good flick.
Beauty and the Beast, I think, was better.
Than Aladdin? Ooh, that's no. No way. Aladdin's way better than Beauty and the Beast.
If we're talking musically, I'm going to
say.
Beauty and the Beast.
I don't know where to go sometimes. I don't know how to respond to that. Sometimes.
Just calling a timeout on this segment.
Yeah. You know what? Timeout. Let's take a timeout. 12:41 the time. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
Welcome back into the show. There you go, Mike. Now you're starting to get somewhere. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. We've got this cool thing going on right now I want to tell you guys about at 1310kfka.com. You've heard me talk a lot about Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Well, they also transform as we get closer and closer to the holiday months. We've got the NoCo Christmas Light Pros giveaway that we're going to be doing. But NoCo Christmas Light Pros coming up for something really awesome. Did this last year. But if you are through the end of October, because you want to do this so there's time to decorate and all that stuff for Christmas and the holidays and such. Now through the end of October is your chance to win a free house decorating from NoCo Christmas Light Pros. Free. You can nominate yourself. You can nominate someone who deserves it. Maybe there's somebody that had a rough go or rough year and they love Christmas, but it's like, I can't do it. Maybe they had an injury or something, or they just can't. This is a really cool deal. So if you want to go nominate somebody for this, go to 1310kfk.com, look at the top of the page, and you'll find the NoCo Christmas Light Pros giveaway. Click that, and you just got to write in the name, email address, and tell them or tell us why you should win. Pretty simple. You know, doesn't have to be a sob story either. Just it could be you want to bring joy to the neighborhood, and the neighborhood you live in doesn't decorate a lot, and there's a lot of kids there, and they don't get to see it. What do you want, Scrooge?
I was going to say, like, can you win if you want to have your neighbor's house decorated and they are a Scrooge and you just want to piss them off?
No. You've turned a positive thing into a negative thing. An amazing thing. Thank you, NoCo Christmas Light Pros. Ignore Michael. He's like this a lot.
I am. That's true.
Hey, I know CSU lost to Washington, but how did that volleyball situation go on Friday night?
I think Washington was defeated 3-2.
Yeah, how about that? And the Bears won last night, beat CSU.
I don't know, but I think UNC's volleyball team might be pretty okay.
Lindsay Oates is a star, and you guys, I'm an alum. We're lucky to have her. It's just great. She's a great person too. Awesome.
You think Lindsay Oates likes oatmeal?
Mm-mm. Do you hear it before it? Right? Like, do you hear it before it? That's all I'm asking.
I don't know. I can't remember 3 seconds ago. I still have the NyQuil in my head.
Oh, that's on NyQuil. This seems like regular you, to be honest.
Yeah, don't go to my Twitter account. I have some NyQuil tweets.
Do you really?
No, I don't.
Fire up your Twitter, please. Can we fire it up? I want to read your... we got to go.
It hasn't been anything I was like, Black Panther was a great movie. Yeah, and that was back in 2018.
What is your Twitter handle?
I think it's my full
name. Is it just
name.
Your name? I'm trying to find it because you had some bangers of tweets there, Mike. Just
yeah,
absolute.
Yeah, I think it was Go Broncos and Black Panther's a great movie, and that's it. And I tweeted at Ryan Reynolds, put a Darkwing Duck reference in Deadpool.
You have a profile picture. Dude, you have 6 followers. Can I follow you? Will you follow me back?
I don't know how to get on my Twitter.
You just read your tweets to me. You just read them. Go Broncos.
I remember what they are.
You got Go Broncos in February of 2018. Yeah, 2018 also, you were feeling it on February 18th. Black Panther is an excellent movie. If I ever get another day off, I will watch it again. And that is it. That is the history of your tweets. All you did.
I have watched it on a day off, by the way. I do own the movie on Blu-ray.
Yeah, give him a follow. Just at Micah Kilpatrick. Let's get you some follow. Dude, that is stuff people need to know. 12:51 the time. We're well due here. We got to take a break. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
The Highland Huskies are in the spotlight tonight. Tune in tonight at 5 to learn more. Presented by Tasman.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Whole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
All right, coming up, final hour of the show, we got buy or sell. Sean Keeler going to join us. Also, Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia question. Greg got it yesterday. Is Greg going to get it? There's no rules on this. Greg could get it again. He could win every day if you guys don't bring it. So I want you to bring it. We'll bring buy or sell next. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.